Blog Talk Radio.
Saints, and welcome to another broadcast of Reformation News, where I, your brother and host and servant in Christ, Radio Reformer, will be sharing with you Proposition number 42. Yes, indeed, we are making our way. We are making our way as we are presenting our 95 thesis, a contemporary and new 95 thesis dealing with the abuses and malpractices in the African-American church. Anytime Rome invades any church, you will find abuses and malpractices. Because Rome is famous. And by Rome, we mean the Roman Catholic Church. That's what we mean, the Roman Catholic Church. I mean, just a couple of days ago, it was the cardinal, of Australia, who is a close friend of Pope Francis, was indicted for what? For pedophilia. Think about that. A very close friend of the Pope, Pope Francis, the Cardinal of Australia. That man has just been indicted in Australia for sex crimes. And what does Pope Francis do? Pope Francis elevates him and makes him chief banker of the Vatican Bank. So think about it. The more you sin, the higher you go up in the Roman Catholic Church. The more crimes you commit, you get the better positions in the Roman Catholic Church. Have I made my case? You better believe it. Today we want to talk about archbishops. and we want to show how the office of Archbishop is completely unscriptural. It's unscriptural. There's no such thing. How do we know that? Well, because Jesus said, or rather, excuse me, Paul said, in writing to the Ephesians in the 4th chapter, the 11th verse, and he, speaking of Christ, gave some to be apostles, others to be prophets, others to be evangelists, others to be pastors, others to be teachers. At no point did Paul say that Christ gave the church archbishops. Nor did Peter in his first epistle, the 5th chapter, ever say that there was a pope, that he was pope, and that there were archbishops under him. Never. In fact, the only archbishop of the church, and there's only one, and he is the permanent archbishop, and no one can come up to that rank. That one person is the Lord Jesus Christ, which we will see momentarily. We're going to discuss 1 Peter 5:4. But let us do a quick review of Proposition 41. And before we do a quick review of Proposition 41, let me give out the phone number once again. It's 646 area code 564-9730. Again, the call-in number is area code 646-564-9730. And I encourage any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops to call in. We will take your call. We would like to see if you can rebut any of these propositions. We're hoping, we're believing, we're praying that you would. But to date, no takers. Thus far, we have presented 41 propositions. We have not gotten a single phone call, not a single email, not a single letter. Not a word, not a peep, not a hoot from any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops. Does it surprise us? No, it does not. Because you cannot defend error. You cannot. If you try to defend error, you're going to be embarrassed. There's no winning argument when you are on the wrong side of the argument. And the wrong side is error. When you promote error, biblical error, demonic error, as soon as you shine the light of the gospel on error, error is exposed for what it is. Again, the call-in number is 646-564-9730. I will not hold my breath. We give this number out in every single broadcast, but nobody calls in, although the challenge goes out repeatedly. Repeatedly does the challenge go out. Well, let's read Proposition number 41, and that will lead us into Proposition number 42. The office of Metropolitan is unscriptural. We saw that. There's a man who oversees the Joint College of African American Bishops, and he calls himself the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. The Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Well, there's no such thing as the office of the Metropolitan. It is unscriptural. You can't find it in Ephesians 4:11, and you can't find it anywhere else in the Bible. You can't find it anywhere in the New Testament. It is unscriptural. It has no scriptural foundation. It is, as I have proven, it is an invention of Rome, and it is completely anti-Christian. Why? Because it is the Pope. What is a metropolitan? A metropolitan is a super archbishop. That's what a metropolitan is. Is a super archbishop. And then above the metropolitan is the cardinal. So you have the Pope, then the cardinals, then the metropolitans, then the archbishops, then the bishops, then the suffragan bishops, then the priest, then the archdeacons, then the deacons. And that's the way the Tower of Babel goes. And you start out as a lay person, and then you become a priest, and then from a priest to a suffragan bishop, then from a suffragan bishop to a bishop, then from a bishop to an archbishop, from an archbishop to a metropolitan, from a metropolitan to a cardinal, and from a cardinal to the pope. And all the way up, you're licking a whole lot of boots. You're a bootlicker. The office of metropolitan, which is a fancy word for super archbishop, is unscriptural. It is a complete invention of Rome. In fact, according to one of the dictionaries that we consulted, Roman Catholic dictionaries, by the way, a dictionary on the liturgy, it's an official Roman Catholic dictionary of the liturgy. The word metropolitan comes from the Greek word that points to mother city. The mother city is Rome. In other words, your appointment comes from Rome, the mother city, the city called the harlot in the book of Revelation. And it is the pope who appoints metropolitans. They get their power from the pope. So when the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus of the Joint College of African American Bishops declares his title, we would have to assume, since he does go to Rome frequently, we must assume that he must have gotten his marching orders from the Pope, the Antichrist himself. The Antichrist himself. Well, we've already proven that the office of the Metropolitan is unscriptural. You can't find it in the Bible, particularly more specifically in the New Testament. It is the invention of Rome, and it is completely anti-Christian because it comes from the Pope, who's an Antichrist. He is not the ultimate Antichrist, but he's one in a series of Antichrists put out by the Roman Catholic Church throughout her long history. Thus, if the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus comes from the Pope, who is the Antichrist, then the title Metropolitan is completely anti-Christian. That's what it means. Now, proposition number 42. The office of Archbishop, which is beneath the Metropolitan, is unscriptural. Again, you can't find Archbishop in Ephesians 4:11. And he gave some apostles plural. He gave some prophets plural. He gave some to be evangelists plural. He gave some to be pastors plural and teachers plural. Well, there's no office of the archbishopric. There is none. There is none. Not the way Rome presents it. Now, the Bible does mention one chief shepherd, one archipoimen. And since the word shepherd, elder, bishop is used in the New Testament interchangeably for the same person, there's only one archbishop, technically speaking, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. To give someone that title is to put them on the level of Jesus. Thus, the way Rome presents it, the office of archbishop is unscriptural. Why? Because it only applies to one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:4. 1 Peter 5:4, Peter says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, when the archipoimen shall appear. Well, there's only one chief shepherd. He's not talking about when the archbishop of the Joint College of African American Bishops appears. That's not who Peter's referring to. He's talking about the one and only archbishop the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ has ever had, which is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Therefore, to give men this title is unscriptural. Again, it is the invention of Rome, and again, it is completely anti-Christian. Why? Because it comes from this title, this office, comes from an anti-Christian system. It comes from doctrines of demons. That's where it comes from. Now, in the book written by the leading bishop, one of the four co-founders of the Joint College of African American Bishops. He's the man who wrote the book, The Bishopric, a handbook on creating episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church, none other than Bishop J. Delano Ellis II. He wrote this book. And in chapter 1, page 17, which is entitled In the Beginning, The Need, he writes, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, there you have two archbishops, both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis of Cleveland, Ohio, were discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. After lengthy discussion, a telephone call was made to Bishop Paul Sylvester Morton of New Orleans, Louisiana. Bishop Morton expressed his desire to join these men in forming this college of bishops. And Bishop Ellis was elected to preside over this venture. The name chosen for the organization was the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops, a.k.a. the Joint College of Bishops. So there you have it. I'm not making this up. So four men founded this organization. Two were archbishops and two were bishops. But again, I contend that the office of archbishop is unscriptural. You can't find me one text other than 1 Peter 5:4, and that text applies singularly to Jesus. That's just like in the church. In the church today, we only have one high priest. That's Jesus. He's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. There is no other high priest. There's only one. There's only been one. So for someone to start calling themselves high priest of the church today would be what? Would be unscriptural. Why? Because the church only has one high priest. And he's after the order of Melchizedek. And you can only have one high priest at a time. And after the one high priest dies, then God gives the people another high priest. But since Jesus does not die, he's eternal God. Jesus is eternal God. He doesn't die. That's why we don't have a series of high priests, because there's only one. In like manner, we do not need a series of archbishops. Why? Because the archbishop mentioned in 1 Peter 5:4, which is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter says, and when the chief shepherd or when the chief bishop shall appear, we shall receive what? A crown of glory. Well, what is he making reference to? He's talking about the second coming of Christ. That's what Peter's referring to. When the chief shepherd, when the archappointment shall appear. That's the manifestation of Jesus at the second coming. And he is the archappointment. There's only one. Peter never called himself archappointment. Paul never called himself archappointment. There's only one. To claim the title is unscriptural. Therefore, as you can see, when this thing started with the Joint College of African American Bishops, we would have to say that this thing started wrong. Why? Why? Because it says, one late afternoon in the summer of 1994, four men were traveling from New York to Philadelphia for the purpose of purchasing vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. While traveling, Archbishop Wilbert Sterling McKinley and Archbishop Roy Edmund Brown, right there we have a problem. Both of Brooklyn, New York, along with Bishop J. Delano Ellis, there we have a problem, of Cleveland, Ohio, we're discussing the need for providing assistance and training for the proliferated episcopacy within the African-American Pentecostal community. There's a problem. You have two archbishops, and again, the title's unscriptural, and you have two bishops traveling to Philadelphia to get vestments and insignia for the Episcopal office. This is Roman Catholic jargon. This is Roman Catholic thinking. As I said before in a previous proposition, those who are archbishops wear the scarlet color, they've got scarlet fever, and those who are bishops wear the purple color, and they've got the purple plague. This thing started wrong. You had two of the co-founders who had scarlet fever and two of the co-founders that had the purple plague. And technically, it's not the, if you go linguistically, it's not archiepiscopos, because that would be archbishop, it's archipoimen, chief shepherd. But since we know that shepherd slash elder slash bishop are three different titles for one person, then it's okay to say that Jesus is, although he's the archipoimen, it is safe to say that he's the archbishop. But there's only one chief shepherd and there's only one chief bishop. And that's Jesus Christ alone. To ascribe the title to someone else is unscriptural. It is the invention of Rome. Rome is the one who decided this hierarchy that is now being followed by the Joint College of African American Bishops. And it is completely anti-Christian, because think about it. What does the word anti mean? Anti means against Christ. But also anti means in place of Christ. So when you make a man an archbishop, what are you doing? You're removing Jesus as the archipoimen, and you're putting that person in the place of Jesus. Because anti can mean against, and anti can mean instead of. So when the true Antichrist, when the ultimate Antichrist appears, yeah, he's going to be against Jesus. But he's going to sit in the temple of God, claiming to be God, and he's going to be sitting there taking the place of Jesus. You see, he's setting himself up instead of Jesus. That's what the word Antichrist means. It means a false Christ who is against Christ, and it means a false Christ who inserts himself in the place of Christ. So the office of archbishop is unscriptural. I am still waiting for any member of the Joint College of African American Bishops who would like to take a stab at this proposition. Again, the number here is 646-564-9730. You can call in Bishop Ellis. You can call in Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. You can call in. The number is 646-564-9730. Can you please tell us where do you get your scriptural authority to call men other than Christ archbishop? Where? Show us one scripture. You can't. This is a pagan notion. This is unscriptural. Completely unscriptural. But I have some audio tape, because some will believe that I'm making this up, that this man who goes by the name of J. Delano Ellis, some won't believe that he really calls himself Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Here it is. Here is Mr. J. Delano Ellis in his own words.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
No, it's not. What's important is that Christ be the vine and we be the branches. If Christ is the vine, again, notice, this institution provides life. Think about Think about the asinine statement that this man just made. This institution provides life to the ongoing Pentecostal holy. Well, if it's the source of its life, if it's the source of life for the Pentecostal holiness movement, I can tell you right now it's going to die, because Jesus said that without me, you can do nothing. In him is the life.
Important to the ongoing life of the holiness Pentecostal movement as we know. Is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it.
Then it'll die. Because an organization cannot give the church life. Christ gives it life. He said, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Cut yourself off. If a branch cuts itself off from the vine, it'll shrivel up. It will wither. Read John 15. Read John 15 and you will see that the statement that this man makes is anti-Christian. Why? Because this organization is taking the place of Jesus. No organization can be the vine. Jesus is the vine.
Why is the Joint College of African American Pentecostal Bishops important? The question, why is it important? It is important to the ongoing life of the Holiness Pentecostal movement as we know it, in that it provides for our community a similar ethos as does Lambeth for Anglicanism. We may not impact the entire...
Ethos and Lambeth. Notice the Latin words. Notice. Ethos and Lambeth for Anglicanism. Think about that. We've already covered that in another proposition. Ethos. Ethos and Lambeth for Anglicanism. Bear that in mind now, because I have more audio for you. Bear that in mind. Ethos and Lambeth for what? Anglicanism. Okay.
Our church community, but we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church.
Now, why would any segment of the church be disenfranchised? If you're connected to Jesus, why would any individual... I know a lot of people today who have left the institutional church because they can't take the comedy in the pulpit. They can't take the fleecing in the pulpit. They can't take the prophesying in the pulpit. So I know a lot of people who have stayed home. They don't even go to church anymore. They have church at home. And they're not disenfranchised. Why? Because they're connected to the vine. They're not disenfranchised. You can't be disenfranchised if you're connected to Jesus. You can't be disenfranchised if you're tied in to the true vine. But that's what this guy's selling. That's what he's selling. But we're not buying. No, thank you. Go so crazy somewhere else.
But we will and can impact any disenfranchised segment of the church. The Joint College is important because there is a continuing need for Episcopal training for African American Reformations that subscribe to the Episcopal style of leadership. The Joint College brings fresh sunshine of knowledge to a perpetually disenfranchised segment of the church. However, It is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African American heritage or experience. For example.
Now, this is when he's going to explain who he is. Listen to this. Listen to his title.
The office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus.
Oh, I'm the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus.
To the denomination, for example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus.
Boy, that is some tongue twister. I mean, say that 10 times real fast.
Is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
See, his office as Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus. Now, remember, Metropolitan, is a title given by the Pope. Metropolitan means he who comes from the mother city. What's the mother city? Rome. He's an agent of Rome, and he's a roadmap. Where is he leading you? Back to Rome. He's leading you back to Rome with the vestments and the canon law and the Greek and Latin terms. That's all he's doing. He's leading you back. This Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus, he's an archbishop. And what is a metropolitan? A metropolitan is a super archbishop. Who gives out those titles? Who doles them out? As we learned in our previous proposition, the Pope can only make a person a metropolitan. You just can't give yourself that title. And there's enough internet evidence, and there's enough photo evidence, there's enough audio evidence to know that Bishop Ellis goes frequently to Rome and takes other individuals there to be trained at the Pontifical College. What is the Pontifical College? Well, it is the indoctrination institution of the Pontifex Maximus. It is the indoctrination institute of the pagan high priest, the Pope. Yeah. So this guy wants to bring you rays of sunshine. Rays of sunshine. Rays of sunshine. Rays of sunshine. Here he is again.
That it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African American heritage or experience. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law. In the same way, the role and importance of the joint college, while not universally influential, nevertheless finds its importance in bringing universal orthodoxy to the African-American church.
In other words, when he talks about it brings universal orthodoxy, it's bringing the universal orthodoxy of the universal church called the Roman Catholic Church. So whatever the Rome is pushing universally, that's what's being pushed in the African American church. Now, I played that audio because I wanted to show you not only that in writing does this man claim the office of Metropolitan and Archbishop, but also in audio. And there's much more. I have some additional audio that I'm saving because I'm saving it. I'm saving it so that in case he calls, I can play it and say, okay, how do you reconcile this to Scripture? So now, here is 8-minute audio of the enthronement. Think about it, an enthronement of the Archbishop of Canterbury. Again, let me read to you from Delano Ellis's book on page 41. This is chapter 6, Relationships with Other Religious Bodies. He writes in the first sentence, the Joint College of African American Bishops is Anglican, which means the Church of England, and apostolic by tradition. And when he says apostolic, it means Roman Catholic. The Joint College of Bishops is Anglican apostolic by tradition. In other words, the two main heretical churches in the world that garner the most influence, the Anglican Church, the Church of England, and the Apostolic Church, the Church of Rome, these two bodies form the tradition by which the Joint College is governed. Well, here's the enthronement service, because that's what happens. When someone reaches the level of archbishop, they are enthroned. They make a big to-do about this, and they get this big chair. It's a huge chair. It's like a throne. And it reminds me of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, where it says that the Antichrist, when he comes, he will sit in the house of God. He will enthrone himself in the house of God, claiming to be God. Well, listen to this 1975 audio. 1975, some while ago, but I had to find it, on the enthronement of the Archbishop of Canterbury. The Archbishop of Canterbury, the Church of England only has two archbishops. They only have two. And the greater of the two is the Archbishop of Canterbury. Well, here is the enthronement of this archbishop back in 1975. Listen to this.
A quiet English market town on the River Stour. The ancient Saxons called it Canterbury, the town of the men of Kent. Heavy with history, Canterbury has more than once dictated the destiny of England, with the cathedral the focal point. It has survived many a storm, spiritual, political, and temporal, sometimes all three together. In 1170, Archbishop Thomas Becket was slain by the king's men, a political mistake that roused the ire of the common people of England. The only king to lie buried in Canterbury, Henry IV and his queen. Also the tomb of the Black Prince, who won his spurs at the Battle of Crecy in 1346. And these beautiful old lights, which have witnessed centuries of pomp and ceremony, look down again on the rich ceremonial of the church, the enthronement of a new archbishop. Representing the Queen, Prince Charles, Princess Margaret, and the Duchess of Kent. In procession, the country's political leaders. They are also high dignitaries of the world's Christian churches. The presence of the Pope's representative is of considerable ecumenical significance.
Now, did you hear that? How the Pope has sent, in 1975, the Pope was sending representatives because the Pope wanted to foster ecumenical unity, the one world religion. Here it is again.
Those Christian churches. The presence of the Pope's representative is of considerable ecumenical significance. the Most Reverend Dr. Frederick Donald Coggan, Lord Archbishop of Canterbury and Primate of all England, approaches the west door seeking admission to the cathedral. The Archbishop proceeds through the nave to the choir speed. Formerly Archbishop of York, Dr. Coggan is known for his forthright views. Although only 5 years short of retiring age, he has no intention of becoming a caretaker leader of the Anglican Church. He is greeted by dignitaries of other churches on the steps of the pulpit. Then he proceeds to the high altar. The Dean of Canterbury presents the pastoral staff to the Archbishop.
On behalf of the chapter of this Cathedral and Metropolitical Church of Christ, Canterbury, I hand to you the pastoral staff in token of your having been invested with the spiritualities of the See of Canterbury.
Having accepted the staff of his high office, the Archbishop then prepares to receive from the Dean the Book of the Canterbury Gospels, an ancient and venerable manuscript said to have been presented by Gregory the Great to St. Augustine.
You, most reverend father, shall offer your corporal oath on these holy gospels of God, which you thus corporally hold, that you will protect the rights and liberties of this cathedral and metropolitical church of Christ, Canterbury.
Kissing the book of the gospels, the Archbishop takes an oath of fidelity to the laws of the church and the realm.
As I shall answer the same to Almighty God, I hereby make this my corporal oath.
The Archbishop is led by the Archdeacon of Canterbury to the archiepiscopal throne. He receives a benediction from the Bishop of London.
And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, remain with you now and always. Amen.
Accompanied by the Dean and Archdeacon of Canterbury, the Archbishop proceeds to the chair of St. Augustine, used in every enthronement since the 13th century. The chair now becomes the central point of the ceremony. Calling upon God to grant the new Archbishop strength to fulfill the duties of his office, the Archbishop of Kenya blesses the head of his church.
And the blessing of God Almighty rest upon you all, your work done in his name, now and always.
Amen.
In his sermon, Dr. Coggan reminded his distinguished congregation that a time of tribulation faced the church. The world's radical sickness, he said, called for a radical cure. At the high altar, he gives a blessing.
The Almighty Trinity, the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, grant you to desire him wholly, know him truly, and to love him sincerely.
The procession returns to the chair of St. Augustine and the final part of the ceremony, the blessing of the people in the nave.
Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
In the long line of succession of the primates of England, Dr. Coggan is the 101st to assume this high office, with all its responsibilities. The responsibility of continuing the progress towards Christian unity, bringing together churches of different denominations and traditions in a new relationship of confidence and love throughout the whole world.
So please note that the main function of the Archbishop of Canterbury is to foster ecumenical unity, to foster a one world religion. This is back in 1975. This was already in the works. Preparing this one world religion was already in the works. Now, you can see the Pope is the head. He's the human head of the Roman Catholic Church. When you read Roman Catholic canon law, it tells you that the Pope is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. When you read Anglican canon law, it tells you that the monarch, whether it be a male king or a female queen, the monarch of England is the head of the Anglican Church. So really, if you're in bed with both churches, if you're in bed, as it says here in this book, The Bishopric, A Handbook on Creating Episcopacy in the African American Pentecostal Church by Bishop J. Delano Ellis, he writes on page 41, the Joint College of Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. It means that the head of the church, or the church rather, that Bishop J. Delano Ellis is fostering, is a two-headed monster. Why a two-headed monster? Because the Pope is one head. He's the head of the so-called Apostolic Church, and the Queen of England is the other head of the Anglican Church, because, again, the Joint College of African American Bishops is Anglican Apostolic by tradition. Notice, by tradition. They cannot be Anglican Apostolic by Scripture, because Scripture would not support such a notion. Thus, it has to be Anglican Apostolic by tradition. In other words, the Pope sent Augustine to go start the Church of England. That's why there was so much emphasis in this audio tape, about sitting in St. Augustine's chair. Because it was the Pope who sent Augustine to Christianize Great Britain. It was the Pope who sent Augustine as a missionary. And that's why the Archbishop of Canterbury supposedly sits in Augustine's chair. What heresy. Now, back in 1975, what were they promoting? They were promoting ecumenical unity. And that's why back in 1975, you had the Pope's representatives at the enthronement of the Bishop of Canterbury. Now, here's a short audio clip, of the Pope and Archbishop of Canterbury, Pope Francis and the current Archbishop of Canterbury, praying together. Here it is, so that you can see. You heard how in 1975 they were already fostering ecumenical unity. Well, today they're still praying together. They're hugging and they're kissing and they're singing Kumbaya. Here it is.
Dear
This was October 5th, 2016.
When we fight among ourselves.
This is the Archbishop of Canterbury speaking.
As Christians, when we lose the obligation of...
Anglican Archbishop Justin Welby.
Sharing mercy and forgiveness, we not only disobey the explicit prayer and command of our Lord, but also we become shepherds who devour the sheep. The church becomes a circus for gladiatorial combat, in which the losers are shown no mercy.
Quando come discepoli di Gesù offriamo il nostro servizio.
This is the Pope, Pope Francis speaking.
In maniera congiunta, gli uni a fianco degli altri, quando promuoviamo l'apertura e l'incontro, vincendo la tentazione e le chiusure e degli isolamenti, operiamo contemporaneamente sia a favore dell'unità dei cristiani, sia di quella della famiglia umana. Ci riconosciamo così come fratelli, che appartengono a tradizioni diverse, ma sono spinti dallo stesso Vangelo a intraprendere la medesima missione nel mondo. Allora sarebbe sempre bene, prima di intraprendere qualche attività, che vi possiate porre queste domande. Perché non facciamo questo insieme ai nostri fratelli anglicani? Possiamo testimoniare Gesù agendo insieme ai nostri fratelli cattolici?
In other words, the Pope is saying we need to strive towards unity, we need to stop fighting, we need to promote love, we need to promote brotherhood. But of course, this is a two-headed beast. Remember, my brothers and sisters, remember, dear saints of God, that the beast that appears in Revelation 12, the dragon, how many heads does the dragon have? The dragon has seven heads. That the apostate church have two heads is nothing. Because we're used to Satan producing things with multiple heads. For he is the dragon with the seven heads. And here in 2015, October 16th, we find the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury praying for unity, singing Kumbaya, talking about how they're going to join forces to bring the prayer of Jesus Christ in John 17 to fulfillment. This is apostate. And by the way, they're so boring. They have to read from pieces of paper. They put you to sleep. Now, here's the last audio that I have. And this is why we have it. To show you that the office of the Pope, because Pope means father, and the title Pope is anti-Christian. Why is it anti-Christian? Well, because the Pope is against the Father. And he wants to take the place of the Father, Pope, Papa, in Spanish, Pope, Papa. Little kids say, Papa, Papa. Well, that's the name of the Pope, Father. But Jesus told us not to call any religious leader Father. He told us why the office of Archbishop is unscriptural and anti-Christian. Let's listen. It's not long. It's just 2 minutes. But it's very powerful.
The false office of Pope, Archbishop, Senior Pastor, and Rabbi. In Matthew 23, verse 8 through to 10, Jesus said, But be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your Master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren, and call no man your Father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your Master, even Christ. Jesus said, don't be called Rabbi or Pope, another name for Father, or Master. Master is Greek, katagates, meaning the one who goes ahead of others, for one is your katagates, even Christ. Jesus is also called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5 verse 4. This word in Greek is archipolman. Arch means chief, first, principal, and poimen means shepherd or pastor. Jesus is also called the shepherd and bishop of our souls in 1 Peter 2:25. The Roman Catholic Church title for the so-called head of the church is Pope, which means Father. This title only belongs to our Father in heaven. Apostle Peter is considered by the Roman Catholic Church as the first Pope. Even Peter referred to himself as a co-elder in 1 Peter 5 verse 1. The Greek word there is sumpresbyos, meaning co-presbytery or co-elder, not a pope. The titles given to Christian church leaders like archbishop, senior pastor, and even sometimes rabbi are also titles that only belong to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is chief pastor or senior pastor. Jesus Christ is our archbishop. Jesus Christ is our master. Amen.
And none other can replace him. None can replace him. So here we have J. Delano Ellis serving up Metropolitanus Archicolate, and here he is again trying to convince us that he's not an authority but simply a roadmap, and we know where that roadmap leads to because, as the ancients used to say, all roads lead to Rome. Here it is again. The Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus.
Of the church. However, it is not so much knowledge that it destroys the fervor that is distinctive of the African American heritage or experience. For example, the office of the Metropolitanus Archiepiscopus is titular to the denominations contiguous to the college because it only provides moral and spiritual authority and not constitutional authority. That is to say, my office is intended to be a roadmap and not a law.
No, because you lead them to Rome and the law is canon law, Roman Catholic canon law. So once again, my dear brothers and sisters, you see how simple it is to prove these propositions. The office of archbishop is unscriptural. You can't find one text where the title of archbishop, the office of archbishop, is applied to any man. You have one scripture, 1 Peter 5:4, and it exclusively and singularly and eternally applies to none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, the office of archbishop is scriptural. The fact that there is the office of an archbishop came from Rome, for Rome invented it and peddled it to other faith traditions like the Anglican Church. Thus, to call a man archbishop is completely anti-Christian because archbishop assumes that a man or a woman can take the place of Jesus as chief shepherd. And we know that that is an impossibility because Peter said, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and he hasn't appeared yet. Therefore, I challenge the members of the Joint College of African American Bishops once again to call me tomorrow as I do proposition number 43. Call me at 646-564-9730 as you stay up all night trying to figure a way to disprove the 42 propositions we have already given you. Dear saints, that'll do it for today. I'll be back tomorrow. July the 3rd. And don't forget, on the 4th of July, Sister Marie will be with us in studio for our end time news report, which we bring to you every Tuesday, Lord willing. God bless.
side, the man of God's own choosing, dust as who that may be, Christ Jesus it is he, Lord Sabaoth his name, from age to age the same, and he must win the battle. That word